And I like singing, but I had this conversation with a pastor this week. I have preached revivals before where they start at 7:30 and they let the pastor loose about 5 minutes after 9. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I like singing, but not that much. I'm glad to be here this morning. If you got your Bible, we're going to read in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And try to just share a thought with you that something that's been on my heart really for over a week, and a couple of things have happened this week to just kind of solidify this for me as far as this being what God wants. And I want to read in Genesis chapter number 3, and then we're going to read in Hebrews chapter number 9. And we're going to do our best to preach on this subject, how to live like you are dying. Now, when we read the Word of God, and you say, well, I don't like that title. I don't like it much either. But you'll understand when we begin to read and when we begin to talk. And I want to share just some thoughts with you, some experiences. But in Genesis chapter number 3, I want to read just 3 verses starting in the 17th verse. And then we'll go over to Hebrews chapter number 9 and want to read verse number 27. But it's in Genesis chapter 3 in the 17th verse. This is where the curse that came from God upon man because of the sin of man. And this is where God spoke to Adam, and he said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat the bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto the dust shalt thou return. I heard some people this week, they were on the news, actually, and they were debating whether or not the Old Testament is still relative. Now, I got to preach 6 times in a row, so I'm getting rid of this tie. Hope y'all don't mind. Is the Old Testament still relative? Well, folks, yes, the Old Testament is relative. Any Bible person that reads the Bible, any person I believe that God has saved, any person that reads the New Testament, you believe and understand that the old points you to the new. Okay? Now, I want to read Hebrews chapter number 9 in verse number 27. It says, and it is, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, I'll tell you actually what really began to stir in my heart and my mind with this message. I preached on this one time before in my life. It's probably been about 12 years ago. It was because of a song that came out on the radio, and some of you country music fans, you're going to get this tune in your head. But the name of the song is, I Hope Someday You Get the Chance to Live Like You're Dying. Now, that's kind of what it says. I believe it's Tim McGraw. And he says, I hope that you get a chance to live like you're dying. He said, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. And I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Okay. So we got some country music people in the house. I'm going to tell you, that there's a whole lot of music out there that's bad. That song, when I listen to it and I begin to think about it, my mind works like a preacher's mind. I begin to think about that song and I thought, what would I do if I knew that I was dying? You know, I had somebody this week, I was talking to him about fishing, and we were talking about going fishing, and I said, yeah, I want to go fishing, but I said, we got this coming up at the church, and we got this, and we got this. It's probably going to be about a month before I could go. I said, I'm just busy. I said, we got a lot going on. The person made the comment to me. They said, if you get a death sentence from the doctor, and you know that you're dying, he said, you'll make time to go fishing. Now, listen to him just a minute. And I honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you, I paused. Because I had to pray and make sure that I didn't say anything in the flesh. But I'll tell you right now, if I get the death sentence from the doctor and I know that I'm dying, fishing is not going to be my number one priority. I'll tell you what's going to be my number one priority. It's making sure I'm where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do, and that I'm taking care of my family. Now, I don't know anybody in this world that enjoys sitting in a deer stand more than I do, okay? I love it. And it is not because I want to shoot everything that's brown that's down. I'm not one of those kind of hunters. Because I have sat there one year before last, I sat on the deer stand, and I watched 96 deer come by me, and I let them every one go. You know what I'm doing, Brother Billy? I'm sitting there, and I'm enjoying the creation. I'm looking around me at all that God has given and all that God has done, and I'm looking at the crows over here and the fox squirrels over here, and I'm looking at the deer. Sometimes I'm videoing them under me. But you listen to me. If I didn't have a job and my family was hungry, I wouldn't be spending the last money that I had sitting in a deer stand. I'd be looking for a job. And then I would be serving the Lord first. Okay? Now, that's just what I believe. You say, well, I don't like that preacher already. I can't help it. You know what? I want to tell you something. The only thing I know how to preach is what God gives me. And if I ever get to the point I don't do that, I'll tell you what I am. I have become a hireling, and I'm not right with God. And that's why there's so much problem in America today. America needs revival because America has walked away from God. So how do you live like you're dying? And I just want to share some thoughts with you this morning. Here's number one, you prepare to die. How do you prepare to die? You get saved by the grace of God. You see, the truth is 10 out of 10 are going to die. You see, unless you're here when Jesus Christ comes back and you experience the rapture of the church, you are going to die. Now, I grew up as a young man. I can remember when I was a kid, we were in church. I can't ever not remember being in church. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. My daddy wasn't always in church because his daddy was an alcoholic. My daddy ran moonshine until the time that I was about 10 months old, and God got a hold of him, and he got saved by the grace of God. But when God saved him, I want to tell you, it changed him, and it set him on a different path, and it put him in the road that God wanted him to go on. You know, he's like some of them preachers. They get saved, and the next month they're preaching. They don't know a whole lot, but they'll tell you what they know over and over. And my daddy started preaching real quick. And he served God, and he was faithful, and he was a young pastor. And I can remember, from as far as I can remember, we went to revivals. We went to funeral homes. We would go, you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I don't let my kid see that casket. Well, let me tell you something there. Everybody's going to have one. Everybody's going to have one. And it didn't hurt me seeing them. What it did, it helped me understand and get proper perspective on life. Now, this message has got more than one point. I'm going to move on in just a minute. Because I believe we got to learn how to live in order to know how to die, okay? But I'll tell you something. I've never kept my children from seeing them. I explained it to them. You know, it's when we've had funerals, and you know, my wife and I, we've been married 30 years coming up in a couple of months. We've seen the Christmas list change, haven't you? I can remember when we got married, my wife's a giver. She had a list of 30 people. I said, how many relatives you got? And I can remember, and it's unfortunate, but it's true, I would complain. Because you know how it is when you first get married, you got all the bills and none of the money. And my wife's a giver, and she'd give to everybody. But you know, things changed as time went on. You know what we started doing, Brother Tom? We marked names off that list. Now we look at that list and we look at it, and that list is so small, Brother Billy, it breaks my heart to look back and even think about when I was younger saying anything about it, because how much we'd love to go and wrap our arms around grandmother. How much we'd like to tell grandfather, thank you for the stand you made for God. How much we'd like to tell daddy, thank you for the stand you made, and I'm sorry for the way that I acted. Because we're all going to pass. You see, the Bible says that it is the way of all the earth. You see, in 1 Kings chapter number 2, David said, I go the way of all the earth. In Joshua chapter number 23, Joshua said, I go the way of all the earth. You go down to 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, I have finished my course. Then he went on to say, I've kept the faith. Then he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, how many of us, let's think about it just a minute, How many people have we had in our lives, preachers, loved ones, family members that have impacted us that are already in heaven waiting on us? One day we'll be there with them. But in order to live like you're dying, you've got to prepare to die. You must know Christ as your personal Savior. Now, here's something I want us to understand. Recognize, number two, that you are here for a very short period of time. See, Job said our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And I use this verse. I know I use it often, but it's God's verse, and He showed it to me, and I can't help it. It's in Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 12 where He said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now here's what I believe that's teaching us, is to understand that we only have a certain amount of days. In having just a certain amount of days, we are to live with wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is skill at living. Okay? Sometimes people say, well, knowledge. I'll tell you what knowledge is. Knowledge could get you in trouble. The Bible says in the New Testament over there, it talks about when you're pulling somebody to be a pastor, it said, not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride. You go to a reference scripture, and it says, knowledge puffeth up. That's not going to help you, but I'll tell you what wisdom does. Wisdom is skill at living. You know, we need to learn how to live each day. And I can remember, and I've said this before, times that I went through my life, I could not wait till I got 25 thinking my insurance is going to go down. Okay, then I would look at milestones in life. You know, I've got to the point now, I've quit looking at life that way because I realize that if man gets 3 score in 10, I'm on the downhill slide. But I tell you what we need to learn how to do. We need to learn how to live each day. Don't wish your life away. You know, young people just pay the higher insurance premiums with joy. I can remember the first washing machine me and my wife ever bought. We went up to the Maytag store in Woodstock, and we paid $39 a month to get us a washing machine. Now, some of us, we think about that today. Now, folks, aren't we a long way from that? Now, some of you young people may not be. But don't get too in debt. Let it come as it can. But you got to learn how to live each day. And you got to learn how to live each day for the honor and glory of God. And here's something I want you to understand. I know y'all hate tests, but I want to tell you, enjoy the tests. Okay? I had someone come in our office this week. It is a person who has a master's degree in construction management from Georgia Tech. And I interviewed this person. I'll tell you what I told him. I said, Georgia Tech is easy compared to what you're going to experience on this job. Amen. Now, young people, I want to tell you something. I believe this. I tell my boys this. And Brother Allen, it's okay to tell them straight, okay? I said, you know, you ought to be able to go to school and make straight A's. And if you understand what life was about, you'd realize how easy it is when you get out there in it. Now, I want to tell you, looking back, and I remember how I was in school, I used to could draw anything. I used to get paid to draw stuff. I made a C in art in the 12th grade. I had what they call senioritis. You know, all I could see was something out in front of me. I didn't learn and understand that I needed to be living today, right now, doing what God wants me to be, being the best I can be, whatever God wants me to be today. Because I'm here and I'm living today. And we ought to enjoy each day. You say, well, how do you enjoy each day? Familiar scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, and I just have to say this. I want you to understand something, church. You don't have to be miserable living the Christian life. Sometimes people say, living life is so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard. I want to tell you why it's so hard. It's because you are in an inner struggle and you have not surrendered to God yet. When you get to the point that you surrender your heart and your life to God, the closer you get to Him, the closer you walk with Him, the more you're going to detest it, the things of the world. Because if you walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're in a war in ourselves. But the reason it's so difficult and so hard is we want to have the things of God, but we have not turned loose of the things of the world yet. You see, godliness with contentment is great gain. You ever seen somebody, they just seem like they have joy all the time and they're happy? You look at them and they're driving an old jalopy car and they come in and they sometimes come straight from work and you look at them, and I've actually had people heard them say this, I wish I had something like that. Let me tell you where you get it. You get it through a right relationship with the living God. You see, we want to live each day, enjoy each day, but we want to live in the joy of the Lord. Well, what is joy? And I want to tell you something. Joy and happiness are two different things. They're different altogether. So you can be in a hospital room after just hearing bad news and have the joy of the Lord, but you're not going to be happy. You see, joy is this, it's putting Jesus first, it's putting others second, and it's putting you last. But here's what happiness is. Happiness is based on happenings. If you're wanting to be happy all the time, guess what? That's not going to happen, because you are going to have things happen in your life that are going to knock your feet out from under you. And if you're not rooted and grounded in the things of God, it'll knock you completely off of course. But if I have the joy of the Lord in my heart, there are times I've actually been very unhappy, but I could still look up and I could praise God for what He's done. I can still look up and thank Him for His blessings that He has poured out on me. I may even have a tear rolling down my face because of the situation of life. But I want to tell you, I have not lost my joy because I have not walked away from my God. So you got to recognize you're here for a short period of time. Then this, you got to maintain proper balance. Now, yes, sir, you got to have balance. You got to get your priorities straight, though. Here's how you live, and I believe this, and I alluded to that just a minute ago. You put God first. God doesn't want any other place in your life. He wants to be first. God wants to be above your spouse. He wants to be above your children. He wants to be above every other thing in your life. And I'll tell you this, I love my wife, but if I were not right with God, I could never be the man that I'm supposed to be in my home. If I were not right with God, I honestly don't think that God would have ever sent her into my life. Because if you don't love the Lord first, you may say, well, I love this, I love this. If you don't have God first in your life, you're never going to be in a position that you can fulfill the things that you're supposed to be fulfilling. I love my children. And I say this and I mean this. I would step in front of a bus for them. Yes, I would. I've lived most of my life. They're precious to me. I would suffer for them. I would hurt for them. But I want to tell you something. We say that. We think that. Are we walking with God for them? Yeah. If we are, then we're going to be leading them in the right path. So you put God first. And then I believe this. You put your family second. See, I believe that any man, any minister, any person involved in ministry, your most important ministry is in your home. I know a man, he passed away. He was a very, very diligent worker in his church. At his funeral, he had people coming from everywhere. He had young people coming. He had older people coming. But you know what his children said? They said, I wished I knew my daddy like they did. I don't want that. And I'll tell you, sometimes as busy as I am, that's a struggle that I have to pay attention to myself. Because I love my family, I love my wife, and I love my children. And one thing I've learned is time is fleeting and it's passing. And I've got something this morning. My wife is real good about this. Y'all know what that is? Y'all say, that's a preacher's Bible. That'll choke a mule. No, I'll tell you what this is. Y'all got these? Y'all got them? I look at this and I realize how important it is. I realize how blessed we are. I realize what God's done. You know, I believe that every family, every man, every woman, every mama, every daddy needs to get the picture album out. They need to look at it, and they need to realize where they walk together. They need to realize what God's done in their life. You know why? Because you get distracted. Yeah. Family second. And then work. Where do you put it? Well, it's kind of like this. Work is required. It's required. And I say this, I never fault a man for making a living. I've known people to make a living and support their family. They have to work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and that's the way it is. And then people begin to criticize them. You never criticize a man for taking care of his family. And I never will. It's required. But my job is not my God. It's not first in my life. It's not before everything else. It's something that I did to do that God has allowed me to do. Work is required. And then leisure. I even thought about, well, leisure when you can. But can we say also that leisure is also required? You remember Jesus? When there was a large multitude around him and he had ministered to them and he had ministered to them. And then it come to the point that he turned and walked away from them. And where did he go? He went up apart into a mountain alone to pray. Jesus. That's something that you all do, that we all should do. That's what proper balance is about. You see, when a person gets in trouble, it's when they get tilted in the wrong direction too much, and you could say, in any area. That don't mean you can have too much God. But let's be careful not to say, I'm serving God, and neglect all of our other responsibilities. You see, if I tell my wife I'm too busy serving God to love you and the children, I've missed it, and I don't even realize it. We had a guy one time we were talking to recently, and we were talking about the church, and we were talking about how important Jesus is. He said, well, you might have too much Jesus. So I thought, what? Huh? You can't have too much Jesus. But let's don't use what we prioritize as an excuse to do things that are not right with God. We got to have our priorities straight. See, we need to learn and gain some wisdom. Remember, wisdom is skill at living. One thing I noticed looking at these pictures, how important they are. How important the memories are, how important the things that you do together are. We also need to do this, and I think this is very important. We need to live our lives for the honor and the glory of God. You see, sometimes, and the truth is, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about being in our there, sometimes the place that we find ourselves is really not where we'd like to be. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we go to a job that we don't enjoy, or we have a boss that, you know, we just have to tolerate, or we're around people. And this is something that if you're not dealing with it, you probably will. But in Colossians 3:23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." I can remember one time that I thought I was supposed to get a promotion and it didn't come, and I was all inside myself upset. And you know where most of the wars and the battles occur? Inside. Nobody knows. You can come in here on Sunday morning and everything look all right on the outside, but inside you're in turmoil. You're in a battle, you're in a struggle, and this was one of those that nobody knew was going on but me, but God knew. The Holy Spirit came and spoke to my heart, and God convicted me through His Holy Spirit. And He said, if I'd have wanted you to have that job, there's not a person in this company that could have kept you from having it. I went from being bitter till I surrendered to God. And I said, well, God, if the job I've got right now is where you want me, I want to be the best one they've got. Because that's where God convicted me. You see, what God wants you to be where you work is the best one. I was at a church one time, little church up in Woodstock, and there's a piano player, and you know, they had those testimony services. And this is one of those times, you know, when you open that up as a pastor, I can say, Lord, I wish I hadn't heard that one. We open up, the lady, she began to testify, and here's what she said. She said, I just want everybody to pray for me down at my job. They wrote me up for my attitude. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know if I'd have told that. You know what God wants me to be? The best one I can be. If God wants me to cut the grass, I'm going to be the best one. If God wants me to mop this floor, I'm going to be the best one. If God wants me to put in light bulbs, I'm going to be the best one. If He wants me to design buildings, I'm going to be the best one. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I learned that from not just from the Word of God, because I had very wise men that walked before me that demonstrated it to me. You see, because that goes right back to being content with whatever things you have. Paul said, I've learned how to be content up here and down here, wherever God wants me. That's why he wrote to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, God wants us to live our lives for his honor and glory, and when he does bless us, he wants the glory to go back to him. I tell you, the last thing God wants you to do is come down here with a prayer request, and I've seen this happen. Somebody be praying, and they're praying about a situation in their life. They're praying about a job. They're praying about a promotion. And as soon as God moves, as soon as God blesses them, it ain't long till they've forgotten where their blessing comes from. They forget God. They walk away from God. God doesn't want that. God wants you to give him glory. He wants you to give honor and glory and let it go back to him. And let your life be what it wants. He wants it to be. You know, back in 2006, my dad went to be with the Lord. And I can remember walking in, looking down at my dad. And they had done a great job at the funeral home. He's like me. Folks, I don't deserve the senior citizen discount. But I get it. My dad was like that. He was premature gray. Worked hard all his life. I went in and they had dyed his hair a little bit. And he was laying there and he was resting and he was at peace. And I knew he was with the Lord. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And my dad was disabled when he was 49 years old. Could not work anymore. If he could, I promise you he would. Passed away when he was 58, but he knew how to live like he was dying. Because I can remember the last time that he was able to sit up on the side of the bed, he took the Bible and he called all the siblings in there and he taught us a Bible lesson. After he passed away, we found over in the corner of a room a little tin coffee can, and it had money in it and it had notes for every week. And in the top of it, there was a little note that said, God's money. He wasn't able to get back to church and give it, but he was still giving it, and he was still faithful to God, and he didn't blame God, and he didn't quit on God. And that's an example that I have to live with. But I can remember standing looking down at my dad, and it's almost like this. It's just like I felt the Holy Spirit through my dad reach out with a baton and hand it to me. And he said, it's your turn. I can remember arguing with God saying, I can't. I can't be the man that you were, Dad. I can't walk the way you walk with God. You were such an example to me. But I begin to think, and these are the things that God begin to speak to me, and I want to tell you the things that I learned from my dad's death. I learned that life is too short to hold grudges. We need to forgive more. Well, somebody's offended you, forgive them for Jesus' sake. You don't do it for them. You do it for your relationship with you and God, and you forgive them, you release them, and God will bless you. I learned that life is too short to be unkind. Do you know there's never really an acceptable reason to be unkind? You see, we should love more. We should show mercy. Do you know that people need mercy whether they realize it or not? Because maybe you're showing them mercy when they won't deserve it. It'll cause the Holy Spirit to work in their heart and their life. And the next time you see them, they might be different. I learned that life is too short not to be what God wants you to be. You see, the most important thing if we're going to live like we're dying is keep God first. And I will tell you that the saying, he who dies with the most toys wins, is not true. See, he who dies with the most toys just leaves more to somebody else. And if you don't have the will, the government's going to get half of it. I also learned that life is too short not to be a good father. You could also say life is too short not to be a good mother. It applies. But here's what I believe the greatest thing that a father could ever give his children is to love their mother. That's the first thing. That's the greatest thing. Make memories. Look at your picture albums when you get home today. I've also learned that life is too short to mess up with gross sin. See, I'm 52 years old and I want to spend the rest of my life serving God. But I'll tell you what gross sin will do. It will put you on a tailspin and it'll knock you down. Why? The closer you are to God, the more it costs. That's why the Bible teaches very clearly that unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of them. Because of what I understand about the Word of God, because of the examples that I've had in my life, God holds me accountable. And He should. And I learned this, and this is very important. Spend time with those who will cry at your funeral. You know, when a person knows the Lord and we have their funeral, they can just go home and be with God. We reverence them, we respect them, and we cry because we miss them. And I want to tell you something, folks. When they're gone, there's a hole. And it's not going to be filled until you see them again. But here's the good thing. Remember point number one, how to live like you're dying? Prepare to die. If we prepare to die, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. I believe it with all my heart. It's just going to be like that. And I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm going to see grandmother. I'm going to see grandfather. I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my little sister. I'm going to see all them preachers that I followed and walked with most of my life. I want to tell you, it makes a difference to live your life for the honor and glory of God. It matters. How do you live like you die? Put God first and He'll show you that. He will show you the rest. I got a couple of sayings here and I'm going to read these as they come. Get ready with a verse of song. So write it down, statement. It says, there are those who say that God is dead and live like God is dead. There are also those who say that God is alive, but they act like God is dead. Then there are those who say that God is alive, and they live their lives like God is alive in order to honor Him. You see, the truth is, everybody has a chance to live like they're dying. You don't have to get a note from the doctor and then go out and do all that stuff. You can live like you're dying because you are. But how does God want us to live? I believe He wants us to put Him first. He wants us to get our priorities in order. He wants us to love our families. And it's like I've said before, God does not want you to come so you can be a copy of me, or a copy of Brother Tom, or a copy of Brother Allen, or Brother Bruce. God wants you to come so you can be the best you that you can be. That's all. Ask you.